With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To design the Lexus ES, all we had to do was listen. Your ears said exactly where to put the speakers. Your eyes told us where to put the available head-up display.
Hey, Lexus, find me an alternate route.
Even your right foot helped out. It let us know you'd enjoy a little more torque. Turns out you had a lot to tell us. We certainly heard you. The Lexus ES, not just for you, by you. Click the banner to discover more. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another Super Rugby podcast with your hosts Damien Warren and
Toby Harris.
Toby.
Yes.
There has been some very close matches over the weekend.
Extremely close matches. Some would say the closest they could ever get.
Super Rugby possibly has, for the first time, really stood up this weekend. Barring one game that was a bit boring, all the other three games were absolutely bobby dazzlers.
Well, what was the boring one?
The Force v. the Rebels.
Yeah, that was a bit of a...
paint drying stuff. It was like two samurai sword fighters fighting with butter knives, mate.
That would be quite interesting, actually.
Anyway, we've also got Larkin. Is it Larkin?
Yeah.
Sure it's Larkin. Larkin has come back after not gloating when Ireland put up a great performance against England. He's come back and said, I didn't gloat a couple of weeks ago after Ireland beat England, but I feel obliged to this week after Leinster's performance against Exeter this evening.
But why didn't he gloat? He should have been gloating.
He should have been gloating. He should. I think he just forgot to gloat. Or he gloated to everyone else, but he left no more gloating on
Larkin
the table.
Larkin should feel special here.
But
he's coming before the plug.
Yeah,
he's coming before the breaking news.
He is. He's got a point, though. He said Leicester are underrated because of the Pro 14. They were exceptional on the weekend. And I think, did you mention they'd gone up two more gears than they'd normally? Normally, they hit third gear in the Pro 14, and on this occasion, they went to fifth.
Well, they need, how many gears do they have?
Well, let's wait and see, because next round, they're going to have to pull out,
you know? Sixth?
It's going to have to be an automatic transition.
Ooh, bit of Tiptronic.
Tiptronic, mate.
Oh, flappy pedal.
Flappy pedal. But before we do any more, we've got to do our quick little plug.
Yes, for sure.
We do have another review.
Is it
We're
a
up to
good
31
one?
And it's a great review.
Is it?
It's a wonderful review.
Oh, I like that.
That's the type of guy and girl that we like.
Yes.
But if you'd like to support us,
he,
get across.
He, she, or they.
Yeah, he, she, or they. If you'd like to support us, go across, give us a review, subscribe.
Yeah, like, share.
Like, share, do all those things.
Anything, eh?
We need you to support us.
Yeah. I agree, because I can't always be supporting Damo, because I tell you what, my back is sore.
Right, before we do anything else, we must cover
the breaking news,
which is kindly supported by Super XV Rugby website. Yes. They scratch our back, we scratch their backs.
Yeah, that's right. Or crack? No, just back.
Just back.
Just back. Okay, yeah.
You
fine,
can
fine.
Do that one if you want, but not me.
Oh. Some people are into that, you know. Some people are into that.
Some people are into a lot of things. Doesn't mean I am.
No, that's right. I am, though. Anyway, Future stars on show. So, I didn't actually know this, but Super Rugby Aotearoa has an under-20 competition.
Mate, I used to play in the Super Rugby under-20 competition.
Here we go.
Back in the day. It was a pathway.
I played against John Alomu, and I ran rings around him.
Oh, no, I didn't.
No, I know you didn't.
But I used to play in that competition. It was a fantastic competition. The great thing was you were under-20s, and you would play before the game. So, you know, if you were if the big boys were playing the Hurricanes, the Crusaders were playing Hurricanes, then the juniors would be playing before the game. Yeah. Curtain raiser.
Like that, eh?
Curtain raiser.
Love a curtain raiser.
So I don't know when they got rid of that, but it was awesome. Because naturally, from our team, there was movement up.
Of course, yeah. Which is brilliant.
That's how I got into the team in the first place, because someone got moved up and then I got subbed in.
But that's also how progression happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they've got so tied up on getting these kids from school, whereas, you know, if you run an under-20s program, they should make the move from that program up, not...
And they're not as... they're more mature as adults rather than getting them straight from school. You know, they're a couple of years older. They've been playing a decent standard of rugby. Not saying that schoolboy rugby isn't a decent standard.
They've been coached at the highest level.
Correct.
To the Crusaders way or the Hurricanes way or the Chiefs way.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
The ethos of the club is sort of drilled into them at that age. And I think that's also where you can get, you know, the draft system as well from that under-20 competition.
Well, that's what I think they should do.
Yeah.
100%. That's what they should do.
Anyway,
they could draft them out of high school into the under-20 situation or teams, and then from there they go into that into the you know, full size.
So just so people are aware, it is only a week long tournament, so it's not a curtain raiser like you were sort of saying back in the day. So it is a shame. I think there's six teams. So there's the Chiefs, Highlanders, Crusaders, Hurricanes, and the Blues, plus a New Zealand Barbarian side.
Like that as well.
So that's really good.
Very good, yeah.
So, you know, I'm not sure. I think the first round, the Chiefs, Highlanders, and Crusaders won. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who wins or loses. I just think it's a fantastic idea to almost bring it back. The inaugural addition to the Super Rugby Aotearoa. So it's coming back, mate.
So when they say inaugural, do you know what they mean?
Well, it's the first of its
many.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So if they say inaugural, it means that it's going to be the first of many.
Oh, sorry.
Many.
Yeah. But it's the first Aotearoa.
It's not
one.
A one-off.
No. Yeah. So there you go. Yeah.
Fantastic. Mate, my first story I thought was really interesting for a number of reasons. My story is box kicking hang time, fastest pass, numerous other new statistics unveiled following secret smart ball trial last weekend.
Smart ball?
Yeah, so obviously they've got a little, you know, smart chip in the ball and they've measured all those different stats.
Right.
What really surprised me was...
So have they come... Oh, they have?
Yeah, but they didn't... They used it in the females, England versus Scotland Six Nation opener.
Okay.
So they didn't use it in the male games.
That's not a bad thing, though.
Now, I reckon the reason why they haven't done that is because they would worry that someone would say, well, the reason why we lost was because we missed that kick at goal and it had a chip in the ball and that was all set up for us to fail.
No, surely not.
I could almost put money on it, mate.
Nah, I disagree with you on that one.
Why? So why do you think they've put it as a first match being a female Six Nations opener rather than the male Six Nation opener?
Well, maybe it was because it wasn't ready yet.
Damn it, you could be right. I doubt it, but you could be right.
That's all I had.
But I think it's great.
Fantastic.
I think it's absolutely awesome.
Can we go through some stats?
Yeah, they've gone the longest pass was 13.7 metres.
Oh, that's not very far.
No. Didn't think it was, but okay. The fastest pass is 27.2 miles per hour.
That's quite quick.
The interesting would be, you know, when you got that smart ball technology, how far the ball was kicked in a game as well. That would be great to know. But total distance travelled was 3,490 metres,
wow.
I'm guessing, not miles.
No, it'd be metres.
And tells you
total longest air time, though. Total 6.5 minutes.
Yeah.
The ball was in the air.
Yeah, that's passing
well?
And kicking. Mm, yeah. Okay. So not as bad. But
longest kick?
43.2 meters.
Must have been with the wind.
Well, I don't know. It can have 43 meters. Isn't that far?
It's a lot. It's a long way.
No, because it's 20 to 20, mate. Big kick would be 20 to 20.
Yes, true. But I'm just saying that in the female rugby game, I'm saying that's a long kick for a female. But I think it's a long kick for a male.
Mate, it's a long kick for me.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's a long kick for me.
Yeah.
But I would like to see this rolled out now, because I think this would make it would really highlight when teams have kicked the ball too much.
Yes.
Rather than saying there was 13 kicks, you know, it would just get would be more interesting.
I think so.
I love this type of stuff. Anyway,
yeah, so. I like the longest clearance kick and like average clearance kick.
And like, you know,
I like the distance.
I would like to know which scrum half has the fastest pass.
Yeah,
you know, which player has the biggest kind of field kick.
Yeah,
it'd be great, wouldn't it?
I like it. Is it going to be introduced into like?
And you could also do like
Premiership
tackles.
Rugby.
You could do tackles like the ball being kind of like the G forces on the ball from a tackle. Oh, biggest hitter.
I don't think that's in there.
I know, but it could be. Couldn't it?
Yeah.
It could be.
Could be.
Love it though, mate. Your next story.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Oh, man. So, South Africa, they're not doing so well, are they?
No, they've had some bad luck.
Yes.
So.
They might have to have their grovelling shoes back on. So, South Africa's
I would love to see them come grovelling back.
So South Africa's four most powerful rugby franchises may be bracing for some rejection following a report that they won't be able to play in the Northern Hemisphere competition.
They are talking about the Rainbow Cup.
Yes, they are.
From my understanding, they're okay moving forward to play in the Pro 14.
Okay. Having the welcome mat removed by the Pro 14 stakeholders could also make, there we go.
Because, you know, if you're the Pro 14.
Given the Rainbow Cup would be potentially helped. So, I don't think they won't be able to play in Europe.
Well, this is the thing, right? I don't know
at
whether.
At the moment.
This is this year, right? This is this year.
Yeah.
Moving forward, I think they will. But it's because of COVID.
Yes.
And the fact that the British government, Westminster, turned around and said, we're not happy for them to stay at Bristol, train at Bristol, and they weren't going to give them any visas. That's the reason why they can't play in the Rainbow Cup, because getting into Britain
but
was going to be.
Four teams can't do that.
Yeah. But moving forward in future years, you would imagine they would.
Yes, I agree.
So they're scuppered this year. But they're not scuppered moving forwards.
They're definitely scuppered this year, though.
Yeah, which is a big one when the Lions potentially are coming your way and you're not going to play any international games. And potentially you're going to have...
Imagine how much money they're losing.
Huge amounts of money. And that's the... Let's be honest. The reason why the Pro 14 want them in it anyway...
Is for the money.
55 million people live in their country.
Yeah.
So...
And rugby fanatics.
Yeah. So they bring with them a big audience, which sponsors love. TV rights love. That's why it was such a loss for the Super Rugby competition.
Correct.
Sad, mate. Sad. I like to see how that pans out, because they turned down playing in the Rugby Championship last year. From my understanding, you know, they could have done something in the Rugby Championship, but they didn't.
No, that's right.
They could have played in a Super Rugby competition this year.
Mate.
But they didn't.
Could have, should have, would have.
Yeah, absolutely. My next one is Quade Cooper. He's had too many gins, and he said this. out-of-the-box solution bringing Super Rugby to Japan. He said former Wallaby star Quade Cooper says Japanese rugby is so strong that Australia and New Zealand Super Rugby teams should consider playing in the Japanese competition rather than the other way around. Now, the reason why I say he's had a few too many tequilas is we watched one recently, didn't we?
We did. And what was the final score?
Bowden Barrett may have scored a hat-trick in 10 minutes.
He did. It was like, it was like 84 something. Yeah. Eh?
It was touch rugby at best.
And I sort of thought, looking at it, I was like, I could play in that.
You did say that.
I did.
You? And then I said, I could play in it too. And you said, no, you couldn't.
That's actually not what I said. Don't put words into my mouth, big fella.
What is interesting, though, I think he's got a point. The Japanese rugby has improved significantly.
Yeah,
but I think there is some way to go when
you're
basically your national side has played in Super Rugby for a number of years and not done very well.
Yeah.
To then turn around and say that, oh, well, you know, bring it over. I think that Japanese rugby is much stronger. I think they arguably do rely on guys like Quade Cooper, Will Guinea, Ben Smith, Bowden Barrett to make it a really competitive, you know, Kieran Reid. There's a lot of good players over there.
Agreed.
Without them, would they be as strong?
Definitely not.
Definitely not. So, interesting. But we need, as a Australia and New Zealand, we need to find a way to get the Japanese on board. Because when we talk about South Africa, we talk about 55 million. I don't actually know how many million live in Japan. But it's not for...
A lot more.
You just know what I mean?
But
it's
also...
It's not 4 million, is it?
No. But not the whole population watches rugby.
You say that. World Cup semi-final or quarter-final, Japan versus whoever it was. I can't even remember now. I think it was something like 70% of the population watched that game.
No way.
So it might have even been
I'm
going to
eat my words then.
You eat them, mate. It's quite difficult to eat words, isn't it? Children just trying to find them.
Oh, I mean, like, if you write them down, then you can eat them, but not as you get. Oh, I caught it. Oh, not like that. Anyway, mate, my last story. My last story. Here we go. So, Ronan O'Gara went to La Rochelle after a stint at the Crusaders.
He did, yeah. He did.
And now La Rochelle are a European force. So, people have sort of said, you know, La Rochelle beat Sale Sharks, who are one of the best in Europe.
One of the best in England, yeah.
In England, in the Premiership rugby.
Yeah. Well,
they've got the South African team.
Yeah.
And it's sort of been hailed that he's learnt the trade, the tricks of the trade from the Crusaders, and he's actually doing a good job with another team after a stint. So he's been hailed as a brilliant coach at the moment.
I would like to interview Ronan O'Gara, and I'm not... I'm a little bit of catch 22 on this. No doubt his stint at the Crusaders has had an impact on his coaching. He did liken the Crusaders environment to like a Formula One pit crew.
Yeah.
Where everything was maxed out to the absolute, you know, every inch, every nut, every bolt was tightened perfectly.
Yeah.
And was just perfectly in sync with everything else. There's a then to say, well, that's the reason why. He came over a good coach.
He did, yeah.
He may have learned a few tricks to the trade, yeah, but he already was a good coach. And what I understand about Ronan O'Gara, he's a massive student of the game. So he already has detail in mind, and he already understands how a game should be played and tactics and whatnot. But maybe he did take something from his experience. I just think it's a little bit rich to turn around and say the reason why La Rochelle are doing well is because Ronan O'Gara went and coach the Crusaders. You know, that doesn't wash with me too much. I think Ronan O'Gara is the reason why. Ronan O'Gara is a good coach. Ronan O'Gara's had probably quite a big checkbook that he could buy players that he wants. And yeah, he's learned a thing or two from the Crusaders. But, you know,
I'm surprised, actually.
Are you surprised that I'm saying that?
Yes.
Yeah, but I just don't, you know, so many things. It's like, you know, you want to do that. But then why is the Highlanders not done well under Major? Because he's a Crusader. You know, so many people go, oh, well, yeah, they'll bring that culture. And the other one is...
No, did Aaron Major coach with the Crusaders?
Good question. I'm not sure, actually. I think he did a stint up with the Canterbury team, not the Crusaders.
That's a different story, different. Mush?
But then, you know, Liam McDonald as well. It's like Liam McDonald, oh, look at the Blues. It's the Crusader influence. It's just a bit old for me. It's an easy thing to say is what I'm trying to say. It's a little bit like the Silver Lake investment where I just think it's the easy option just to say, oh, we should take the money. Now, we did have someone from Twitter come in, and I apologize for his name. I don't know his name. But he made a good point, which he said the Silver Lake investment was actually, it's more than just an investment. It's about those people driving revenues forward. My comeback to that is, that's all well and good, but when they sell, and they will if it, they make money, then you've lost 15% of your company.
Definitely.
And
who are they going to sell it to? That's the next thing.
And who are they going to sell it to? And will they drive it forward? Well, you just don't know, do you?
And will the All Blacks franchise itself have a say in who they sell it to?
It's not even the All Blacks. It's the whole New Zealand rugby union.
Well, would they have a say in who they sell it to?
I don't know.
No.
And the other thing you've got to remember is if this Silver Lake are coming in and wanting to make money, then they're not going to want to support things that don't make money. The Mitre 10 Cup doesn't make money.
No. Can be exciting to watch, though.
No. Are they going to turn around and say, well, I'm really sorry, but you know, grassroots, we're not interested in grassroots. No. So you can't give money to grassroots. I know this is all sweeping. I know we don't know everything. But I do
think...
We've
gone off on a massive tangent, to be fair,
mate. We've
gone
off on a massive tangent, haven't we? But you know me. I love a good tangent, don't I?
Right. David Havili. What's he on about?
David Havili's form in the Crusaders midfield has made him impossible for Ian Forster. Foster?
Ian Foster, mate.
To ignore.
Fozzy.
And they are right. They are right. This is coming from actually Bryn Hall, who's a teammate. David Havili has been knocking on the All Blacks' door since 2017.
Has he been an All Black?
He's been in the squad.
Right.
When he was in 2017, but he's never played a test.
Really?
He's never been selected for the match day squad.
Wow.
As far as I'm aware, I might be wrong. But what's interesting is, and I mentioned this to you, as soon as he played at 12, didn't I? I said, wow, what a performance. And I'm like, he can play at 12, he can play at 13, he can play on the wing, he can play at 15, and he's even played at 10. Now, if you want someone off your bench so that you can play an additional forward, David Havili is your man.
Well, it was like what we used to do with Bowden Barrett. He could play anywhere.
He could play anywhere, yeah. He was a great bench player.
Yeah, he was. I still think he is a good bench player.
I think he's a great starter. I think he's a great starter. I think Fozzie's got a tough old job ahead of him because he's got quite a lot of players that could play in certain positions. But we'll wait and see. But David Havili, mate, at 12, he has been class.
He has. He's
so
been
much
so good.
That he could start at 12.
Wow. Interesting.
And we'll wait and see. But... I just think David Havili, he stuck around in New Zealand. He obviously really wants to play for the ABs. He probably could have gone off many, many times. And we saw on the weekend where he's the one that won the game.
Yeah.
Took the drop goal.
Yes, correct.
So surely he's got to be in the picture, Topes.
Yeah. No, we've spoken about it.
Would
I
you
agree.
Pick him?
Yeah. I'd start him.
Over Lamarpe.
Yep.
Who won't be there anyway because he's off to France.
Yeah.
You'd start him at 12?
Yep.
Who would you have at 13?
I would have a Rico at 13.
Oh, yeah, Rico at 13. Yeah. It's tough though, isn't it? Because I'm the one saying you need some big boys, and David Havili is not a big fella.
No.
He's not a big fella. So, you need a big fella at 13. Is Rico big enough?
Rico's fast enough.
He's definitely fast enough, isn't he? He's definitely fast enough. I'll tell you who else played really well was Lester Fainuku when he came on the weekend.
Yeah.
Talking about big 13s. He did very, very well. Changed the game for the Crusaders. All right, mate.
Yeah.
It's time. It's time for the results.
For the results. Oh. Got it. Right, okay. Hurricanes versus the Crusaders. This game went to extra time. Crusaders came out on top, 30 points to 27. 2 forward passes, shouldn't have won the game.
2 forward passes that weren't given? Flat balls, mate.
Mate, you
flat,
yourself.
Flat as a pancake.
You yourself told me, we were lucky, mate. We were lucky.
We were lucky, and we're going to go over it. Lamape was lucky.
Lamape everything was fine with that. The Reds beat the Brumbies 24-22. The Chiefs had another win, which is fantastic, 26-23. And then the Western Force snuck in 16-15. All games super close, as we were saying earlier.
I've renamed that Rebels Western Force game for a charity kickoff. There was not. Oh, the Force got one try.
Yeah.
One try in the whole match that came right at the end of the game.
How good.
I have enjoyed watching paint dry more than that match.
Anyway, the Reds are first, then the Brumbies and the Rebels. There's a bit of a gap between second and third, though. Then we've got the Crusaders, Blues, and the Highlanders. That's the top three in New Zealand. But 3, 4, and 5 are quite close, actually, aren't they?
Oh, definitely. Even 2,
they're
really. They're
close.
Still, you know, if the Blues lose a couple, then... I think Crusaders, after the weekend, are they safely in the final?
Yes.
You'd say so.
Unless they lose a couple and the Highlanders and Chiefs win a couple.
Still got 3 games though, don't they?
Yeah, so the Crusaders need to lose at least 2 of those.
Yeah. Okay.
To not be in with a sniff.
But they're all tough games.
Yeah, they are.
They're all
Agreed.
Tough games, aren't
anyone
they?
Anyone can beat anyone.
Over to the European competition. The brutal Bordeaux Beagles absolutely beat up the Russian side with a pressure kicker or cooker game. I like
yeah,
that.
But
again, it was...
God, you made an absolute... hash out of that, didn't you, mate?
No, mate, it's pressure kicker, as in it was all through kicks.
Village.
I'd replace kicker with cooker.
No, I got it.
I got it. Clermont and Toulouse.
Yeah.
Unbelievable match. So many good players, but a boring game.
Mm.
Really boring game. Like, I looked at the teams and I was like, wow, Intermac.
Exciting.
DuPont.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, this is going to be... Oh, no, it's boring as. And actually, the week before, Toulon were just beautiful to watch. Then, it probably was the game of the weekend, I think, from the European, was Exeter versus Leinster. Leinster came away 34-22.
They were away from home as well.
Away from home. And Exeter, wow, what a great start. Unbelievable start.
Did they?
And then Leinster came back and literally... never took their foot off the throat.
Wow.
It was brilliant.
Was it 14-0 then for a start, or?
It was 14-0, yeah. They scored 2 tries in 7 minutes.
Really?
And they looked unbelievably good. And then it was like Leinster's game.
Wow.
From then on. La Rochelle, 45. Sale Sharks, 21.
Great second half there for La Rochelle, though. 27-5.
Yeah, and also I've gone here and said the French out-muscled the English muscle / the African muscle. You know, they didn't have a lot of answers, the Sale Sharks, in the second half, and really La Rochelle were very, very impressive.
So what's the pick of the next two games then?
So you got Toulouse versus La Rochelle. I'm going to say I'd like to see La Rochelle win that.
Yeah.
But I think Toulouse
they
will
win. Haven't won it in its 123-year
history.
History, yeah. Where did I see that?
And then they got the Bordeaux Beagles versus Leinster. Leinster are away from home. I like the look of Leinster, and I hope Leinster win. But those Bordeaux Beagles have been pretty impressive. Pretty impressive.
I think
so
Leinster will win, though.
I'm going to go Leinster, though. Yeah. I will go Leinster for that one.
Mate, what caught your eye?
I said this last week, what didn't catch me? There was so much to look at. So I'm going to start with the Rebels versus the Force game. This is how you lose a game, by taking threes when you should go for more.
Yeah.
This is the Rebels' problem. They consistently this season have just taken 3 points rather than trusting their line out, trusting their scrum, trusting their back line. And that's led to pretty boring rugby. Now, arguably, it kind of has worked for them up to this point.
Yeah.
But it just shows the Force are pretty nuts and bolts team. They stopped them and they got the try that won the game. Matt Tamua needs to play at 12 for me. It's not working because they don't have anyone as a playmaker at 12. I would rather see them play Hodge at 10,
yeah.
Matt Tamua at 12. I think Matt Tamua is a fantastic player. He's a fantastic player.
Yeah.
But at the moment, the ball doesn't get outside 12.
No.
You know, it doesn't get to your 13.
That's right.
You know, that they are playing within themselves, I believe. Off to the Reds Brumbies. This was an awesome game, mate.
Reds are looking so good.
Unbelievable game. JOC, James O'Connor.
Yeah.
Top class again.
JOC.
And he had a weaker midfield, you know.
He
didn't have Paisami in there. He was injured. And they still found a way to win.
Mm.
Brumbies, though, on the flip side of coin, still impressed. And they are so dangerous when they go wide to wide, or they call it coast to coast. I think they're the most dangerous team in the world at the moment when they go full width to full
that's
width.
That's a huge call.
They did, mate. They score some awesome tries in from corner to corner.
That's huge, mate.
I think they're the best in the world at that particular skill.
Crikey.
Mate, what caught your eye? That's the Aussies done.
For you.
For you. Me. Yeah. What about for you?
Female touchy. We've spoken about it before.
Listen, she's already done it. She's done a game this year, mate. Jeez, what are you looking at? I know that you've got long hair.
No, just listen.
But
just,
not everyone with long hair is a guy.
Why?
She's done this year. What have you been watching?
Why isn't she doing it more consistently? You've got to let me finish, you douche.
No,
yeah?
You weren't going to say that. You weren't going to say that. You were going to say, when is it time that she does the main job?
No, but why isn't she doing it more consistently?
Well, because there's men that do a bit. No, I'm joking.
Disgusting.
Think you're right.
No, that's disgusting from you. Anyway.
I think you're absolutely right. And do you know what? The games that she's done, I've not spoken about the referee.
Yeah.
I've not said, oh, what a decision they've made. Well, I've not had one criticism of her refereeing. I'm not saying she's got everything right, but she's got the big stuff right consistently.
Well, there you go. Anyway, absolute shocker from the Force, number 15. At the end of the match, all he had to do was kick it out, and he shanked it. No, it got charged. No, he shanked it, I think. And then the Rebels, awful pass before the attempt to drop goal. He had one job to pass the ball. Village. Reds were patient because they didn't start off very well. They had to be patient with their midfield, but then they could still grind it out. And then I've put the Brumbies just looked good.
They did look good, didn't they? I think this is more of a... I think these two teams are going to be in the final.
Yeah, they will, yeah.
And I think the Brumbies will win. Because I think this...
Off because of their coast-to-coast passing.
No, I just
best
think...
Best in the world.
I just think that they're so close, the Reds. And by law of averages, they're probably as good as the Reds. So they're due a win.
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah. I just think that they're so close. It's so good for Australian rugby. It's just a shame that the Waratahs are so poor.
What about the New Zealand one, mate? What caught your eye on that?
What caught my eye on the New Zealand games? Why are you laughing?
Because they cut you off, mate. You're talking too much. God, there's a bit of hostility in the room right now, isn't there? Get on with it, man.
Well, apparently I was talking too much. I've just calmed down here. Right, the Crusaders versus the Hurricanes. Richie Mwanga was class again.
He was. He was good.
Oh, the one thing that we both did pick up on was the D-line, wasn't it? And the New Zealand teams noticeably have all got together and they've agreed to basically get back an extra half a metre.
Yeah.
Because it was...
And it happened in both games, didn't it?
Happened in both games. Yeah. And all four teams that were playing, they got back an additional half a metre, basically. It was quite...
I think it was noticeable anyway,
wasn't
it? It
was noticeable. And it was consistent throughout the whole game. It was brilliant. So that was really good. There were stars everywhere in that game. You know, you're looking at Lamape, you're looking at Mwanga.
Yeah.
The new kid, Love, looked pretty sharp in the 10
19-year-old.
You got Bowden Barrett and Will Jordan.
Sevilla. Julian and Ardy.
Yeah, and Ardy. And unfortunately, Ardy's out injured now.
Yes.
But then you had on there Bridge and Reese.
Yeah.
You know, it was top things. And we're talking about the Hurricanes, who are in fifth position.
I know.
The bottom. And they've got all of these stars. Where they do lack a little bit is in that forward pack.
But they
stood up pretty well to the Crusaders forward pack, or the referee allowed it to happen, because there was a few times where it looked like on any other given Saturday or Sunday, the Crusaders would have got a couple of scrum penalties and the referee was just not interested, which I think was good for the game.
Balls at the back.
Get it out, sunshine. Yeah. I like that. Hurricanes line out. Absolutely disgusting. I think that was the difference in the game.
You mentioned that, didn't you?
And another pleasing match with some great play from both teams. I thought Alex Nankerville, this is from the Chiefs game, was class. It was great to see the Chiefs win again.
I agreed.
But I didn't really know
who to cheer for. You sort of said when you were watching it, you're like, I want both teams to win. So I don't know who to support.
Whenever anyone went up, I was like, oh, now I've got to cheer for the other. I cheered for the ones that were losing. But, yeah, it's great for the Chiefs to turn around a very poor last season, a poor start to this season, and well done. And also well done to Aaron Smith, who pretty much played the whole game.
Oh, he's still so good, isn't he? So good.
What about you? What caught your eye?
Lamape.
Yeah.
His speed. When he got that
the speed
ball
of his arm smashing in the face.
Barrett.
Oh, no, sorry. Was it on the chest and then rose to the face?
No, rose to the throat. That's why he got yellow.
Oh, yeah.
But his he was so quick when he scored that try.
Yeah, he was.
You know, from the first metre to the 10th metre was boof, rapid.
Geordie, do you think he played well?
No, I think he got frustrated, hence why he lashed out. I still think just defensively
was it
he's got a bit,
yellow card.
Did you say it wasn't?
Was it a yellow card?
I think it was just a yellow card.
Okay,
it wasn't direct contact to the head, but
was it direct,
it was malicious.
Was it direct contact to the throat?
I think it was more the collarbone area. It was touching. It could have gone either way.
Okay, so now...
In Europe, it would have been a red card.
That's my problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to bang on my drum again.
No.
Ready, everyone?
You're spot on.
You ready? Can't hear that, but that's my drum, and I'm banging on it.
Oh, I thought it was something else, mate.
I'm banging on it.
Geordie Barrett can kick.
No. You can't brush over this.
I haven't even put it down. Lamape's speed to score his try. Quick. That's all I got. Right. Nothing to say about the red
Lamape's
card.
Lamape's speed to smash him in the face with his
No, that's
thing.
What you said.
Right. Yellow card. I agree. I would love for that to be a yellow card.
Yeah.
But it won't be in an international match refereed by anyone other than the New Zealand referees. And Lemape potentially will think, that's a yellow card. And he might do it again. It'll be a red, and the All Blacks will lose.
In an international match, I think a Kiwi referee would give that as a red card.
It's just not good enough, mate. It's not good enough. Because we're going to play to these international rules.
Yeah.
And we're going to get done over by them. We're going to have players. I mean, we might have like 10 on the pitch, but the way it's going.
5 red cards. Crikey.
No, honestly, you watch the Premiership and you watch stuff that gets red cards. There is so much stuff in Super Rugby. And is that a good thing? Is it a bad? Doesn't matter. But when Wayne Barnes referees an international match, one of the best referees in the world, he's not going to referee to the New Zealand way,
no,
is he?
No, God, no. Nah.
He's going to referee to World Rugby.
Yeah.
And he's going to go, Lemape, that's a red. Whitelock, that's a red. You know, we're going to have him all over the shop.
Yeah.
We're going to have to learn the hard way.
We are.
Sorry, I've taken out what caught your eye.
You have. But I'm not going to go on about it. What caught your eye on the European stuff, mate?
No, you got DMACC.
Yeah, nah, but you've talked too much now, so we're brushing over it.
Dan Bigger. Dan Bigger caught my eye. I'm a big Dan Bigger
fan. Yeah, what's the comment that he said?
He said here that the Pro 14 is a poor relation to the Premiership. The Premiership blows it out the water. So the reasons for this, that he's played in both competitions, is that the Premiership is tough competition where the lowest team can beat the best team.
Yeah.
There's tough matches week in, week out. Even when international players go, there's the you know, quality that comes through. And then you got the Pro 14 where all the best teams, they only play their players when they have to. So week to week, you're playing against some pretty ropey players.
Yeah.
And it's just not a great competition to be part of. Which is really sad, actually, because the Pro 14 and the Premiership, you add them together, got a hell of a competition. You got two tiers of top quality, you know, competition that would keep each other honest.
I agree.
You'd have a relegation and promotion.
Yeah.
It would be very exciting and a lot more eyes and a lot more sponsorship.
Be good.
We could take a 10% cut for coming up with the with the comments and the things.
10%.
10%.
I want a bit more.
You want a bit more? And the other thing that caught my eye, mate, is scoring too early. Always a good thing.
No.
It's not, is it?
No.
So Exeter scored early twice. We saw the Crusaders score early and then take their foot off the accelerator.
But it also puts the other team a bit of a wake-up call, doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah. Often, teams that score early then struggle later on.
Yes.
So, I watched it and the Exeter game, and I have to say I got excited because I do like Exeter. They're a good side. And I thought, wow, they might really punish Leinster.
Came back
real quick. Mate, guess what time it is?
It's question time.
Now, we've got some good questions here. Good
I
questions.
I got slated on one, didn't I?
You may have.
What?
I think this is a...
I did get slated.
I love this one.
Which I didn't like.
Okay, so I'll do the first one. Hi, okay. Damien and Toby. Like that.
I
spelt my name correctly.
Yes, he did.
Your second. First,
which is
most
odd.
Important,
which
right?
Which is odd.
Thank you so much for answering my last question on the podcast. I was driving in the car with the family when you all answered it and we were all cheered. They all cheered in the car together.
That.
Love it. So, yeah, we love all that type of stuff. But he goes on to say, what about drop goals? What's happened? He's a big fan of drop goals. Not quite sure why. And he's noticed that the Kiwi teams have only kind of brought them out in these last extra time minutes. So what has happened to the drop goal? He's also talking about normal play, you know. You're there, you've got a scrum. Why not take a drop goal?
It's boring.
But it's for
That's
3 points.
That's why Kiwis
mate.
Don't do it.
I know, but it's worth 3 points.
Yeah, but...
Johnny Wilkinson won a World Cup, drop kicking the ball over.
He's a boring player. So did Daniel Carter, to be fair. He didn't win it. Didn't win it, but it changed the game.
It changed the game, didn't it? It did. So why don't players drop kick more often?
It's actually quite hard during a game, I think. There's quite a lot of pressure under you.
It's a tough skill, isn't it?
We saw it in extra time. You know, David Havili, he kicked his one, but the others missed.
Yeah, you got, I mean, who really shanked one? Like, was it Ione? Ione really shanked his, didn't
he? Ioane.
Ioane, sorry. Yeah. That's old
Josh
school.
Ioane.
Josh Ioane.
Yeah.
Really shanked his.
Yeah.
Did D-Mac shank
D-Mac
one?
Shanked one, yeah. So did the fullback for...
Oh, the worst one was Hodge. Oh. Hodges was shocking.
Village.
Oh, that was disgusting. He absolutely had a shocker, didn't he? Yeah, there's only, you know, it's a really tough skill. Johnny Wilkinson was obviously very good at it, and this is what Brett also mentions. But it is a tough old skill, and I think, to be honest, I kind of think you get booed off the pitch a little bit. They kind of seem to come out in internationals more than the club game.
I agree. Again, they're boring.
They're boring. Andrew Mertens was very good at the old drop goal.
Boring player.
I used to love it when he did it against, you know, when he was on the Ramfurly Shield and he just knock him over and knock him over. Loved him then. Loved a droppy then.
Boring player.
When it's your team.
Yeah, when it's your team.
Bring
it
over, lads.
Keep going, fellas. Boring, though. Boring.
Mate, do you want
to
ask...
Who was that from? Was that Brett?
From Brett, yeah.
Oh, California.
I know, it's just so nice. Oakland, California, USA.
Wow.
I bet you there, it doesn't snow in spring, does it?
It depends where you are in California. They've got some hills.
Snow in spring. Isn't it hot there all the time?
I'm not sure all parts are hot. We'll have to have a look on a map. Mate.
Just the ladies.
Just so I can wear my Speedos. Anyway,
you give me your question.
Oh,
we'll leave the last one.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Because he slates me. What makes a good hooker?
Which corner they... Oh, sorry, not that time.
You guys,
family show, family show.
Hey, oh, let's go.
Oh, you didn't see that one coming,
no,
did you?
Not a Scooby-Doo, mate. Not a Scooby-Doo.
Okay, I think this day and age, they've got to be, it's a little bit like, you remember when the cricket players... Wicket keepers.
Yes.
They needed to be a good wicket keeper, didn't they? Like, yeah. As in, that was their main thing.
Yes.
Whereas now...
They've got to be a good batsman.
They've got to be a good opening batsman or a you know...
Slogger.
Cow corner.
Yeah.
So, I think back in the day, the most important thing for a hooker was, can he hook the ball in a scrum?
Yep.
Can he throw the ball in a line out? Happy days.
Yes.
You got the gig, mate. Whereas now... I think that they need to be an exciting player. They've got to have good hands. They've got to have pace.
Yeah.
They've got to have good fiend, good engine.
Good engine.
They're almost like the scrum half
of
the forward pack.
I agree,
where they link everything together. So some of the top teams use their hookers out wide, almost on the wing. Like we see
All Blacks,
Asofra Moore, Cody Taylor,
Dane Coles,
all of those players are found out on those edges, and they're very, very good there. So I think to be a good hooker, you've got to be, does help to be a little bit shorter as well, very, very mobile.
Mobile, I think, great hands, but also nowadays, because the lifters and the line outs and the locks are so good, your throwing needs to be absolutely pinpoint.
Because they're good in attack, but they're also good in defence.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get any freebies, are you?
Nope.
And do you know what I've liked seeing this year? I've liked seeing that long throw to the second inside centre.
to the man running through.
Loved seeing that. Love that. To pull off that throw is actually very difficult.
Especially like a straight, you know, it's still got to be straight when it's thrown back there.
Still got to be dead straight, yeah. And, you know, we've obviously coached at schoolboy level and a little bit higher, but mainly schoolboy level. Not many schoolboy players can throw that line out throw.
No, I agree.
So it's a tough old skill. Shall I ask you?
Yeah, go on then, mate.
My question. It seems James O'Connor took a 50k pay cut to play in New Zealand. How much money would you forego to play international rugby?
What international team am I going to?
I'm going to say, let's say it's a big one. All Blacks, South Africa, England. I'd say those ones there, those ones. So, you know, I'm not saying that playing for Ireland or, but let's just stick to those.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Okay. Just for argument's sake. Well, being a Kiwi, I would definitely take a 50k pay cut, I think, because you're still earning quite a bit of money anyway. I would need to be paid more to play for England.
Let's just stick to New Zealand then.
Yes, yep, cool.
So what would it take you?
It kind of depends on what I would be on or what I was... Let's say I was on £1 million in France.
No, let's say in New Zealand.
Okay.
You are currently getting paid 500,000 New Zealand dollars.
Okay.
What's it going to take for you to make that move overseas right now? So you're 2 years or just under 2 years out from a World Cup and you're going to forgo...
Was I in the international team already?
Yes.
Was I a good player or was I like a fringe player?
Yeah. You're a good player.
I'd keep playing to the World Cup.
Yeah.
And then I'd go make my money.
So you'd keep playing to World Cup.
Yeah.
And then you go make your money.
And then I'd go make my money.
What happens if I said you're on 500,000 New Zealand dollars, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I turn around to you and say, Tobes, if you come and play for me, I will give you £1.5 million. So that's $3 million.
Okay.
What would you do, mate?
I personally,
yep,
I think I'd be stupid not to take that.
You'd be stupid not to take that.
Yeah, you'd be stupid not to take $1.5 million more.
Okay, so what would be your lowest amount? So we've said what would you be? So you've said for $1.5 million, you've got to go.
Yeah,
yeah,
yep.
What is your cutoff point? You're getting paid $500,000.
Yes.
What's your cutoff point? When do you go, it's too much, I've got to go?
Oh, that's a tough question. So you're on 500, you're on 500K, and I think to make a move pretty close to a World Cup would have to be almost double.
So you'd have to
be sort of between the 800 to $1 million range.
That's only 500,000. That's like Bristol Bears territory.
Yeah.
Wow. So you'd go for that? Very interesting. Very, very interesting.
But there's a World Cup.
I know.
2 years away.
And you could win it.
And you could win it. But also afterwards, after potentially winning a World Cup, you could get even more.
You could. It's a tough question.
Well,
isn't
what about
it?
You?
Well, I'm not going to tell you everything, but I would.
Why not everything?
Because we've got the last segment,
right?
Don't we?
Yeah, we do.
You walked into that one a little bit, haven't you? All right, should we go over to the last question here from Derek Scott?
D Rock, PhD. All right, big fella. Right. Good morning, gents. Okay, gent. So who is the gent? You or me?
Me, mate. Definitely me.
Why am I not a gent?
Well, for obvious reasons.
Oh, what village. Right, he's got one quick question down the bottom of quite a long essay. It is.
Can I just it jump in here and say, this is the second time we're doing this.
Oh.
Because I thought I murdered Willows a few weeks ago. Toby definitely murdered Christian.
But do you know how I got out of it? I swore.
But today, Toby set a new record. And he knew that it's a family show. And he swore.
So bad.
So if we ever do a Patreon, I'm sticking this part on Patreon. But anyway,
it is a fair assessment to say that the top the Japan. the Japan top league has a lot of speed. Yeah, it does actually, to be fair, right, mate? But lacks overall size. I definitely have been entertained by their weekly highlights. This question is for Damien with an E, as I am certain Toby has no clue. Right, Derek, not cool. Now, we actually watched the game together.
Yeah.
So he needs to buck his ideas up and sort it out. So they do have a lot of speed. We commented on the speed, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then we commented on the lack of size.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of all look quite big. And then
you see
Beauden Barrett
boy.
Walks on, and you know Beauden. I mean, he is a tall guy.
Well, he's 6'2", I think.
But he looks like 6'5", doesn't
he? Yeah, he does.
It is a little bit unfair, because when they do put their national team together, that they are a decent size.
Oh, of course they are, yeah. But yeah, so they should be.
They're a product of their own creation, which is they are agile, fast, strong.
Yep.
Country, a bit like you'd say New Zealand.
But the thing is with that Japan top league, they've got no depth. There are a handful of really good players in each team,
yeah,
who are big, who are strong, who are quick, but the rest of them, they're schoolboys.
Yeah, they.
And the defense.
You say they don't have a lot of depth. I think that they're of a similar standard, and then they have the occasional exceptional player, but that exceptional player makes hay while the sun shines. They're not, like, I don't think they're really poor. They've got a very good base, but they just don't have the top players. That would be my assessment of the Japanese top league. And when you go then put like a world-class Beauden Barrett on, he can make them look a little bit silly, but he can make Super Rugby teams look a bit silly.
He can make international teams look silly too.
You know, so I think it's fair to say
scoring that, a 10-minute hat trick.
Yes, was I mean, we did look at that game and think, wow, didn't we? It was touch rugby at best. But what I would say is, yes, it's fast, but that's because they aren't big and they've had to play in a certain way. And you saw that at the World Cup. They are an exciting team because they've got to run the bigger teams off the park.
Yes.
And a good big un will always beat a good small un if they play to a big boy game. And rugby, unfortunately, is a game of confrontation and collisions. And, you know, they've got to make hay while the sun shines. They've got to score tries rather than kicking threes. They can't put pressure on, so that's the way that they learn to play. And let's be honest, it's sunny, good grounds, you know, fast.
A lot of money.
A little bit like New Zealand, really. New Zealand play an attractive style. Australia play an attractive style. For the life of me, I can't work out why South Africa don't, because they've got great conditions. And then you go to Europe, and the weather's not very good.
No.
So you're not going to be able to fling it and ying it everywhere, because the ball's so wet. And horrible, isn't it?
It's too cold.
Look at Fiji, you know, Samoa, they play beautiful rugby as well.
Yeah, they do.
So, yeah, that's the reason why they play really quick rugby, that's for sure.
Right, mate.
Yeah. But anyway, he did mention a couple of other things in his question. in the early email, and he said that Super Rugby coverage in the States is really poor. It's Fox Soccer Plus, which costs an arm and a leg. My advice to you, Derek, and all those people out there in Australia, in the USA, is not that we do this. We haven't had to do this because of Rugby Pass came to the rescue, and you can watch the Australian conference on World Rugby site, is invest in a good VPN and then buy it. So at least you're paying for it. Buy it through Rugby Pass. Go and watch the Australian games on the World Rugby website. Do that. And this goes back to, if the New Zealand Rugby Union and the new SANS are getting rid of the South African part, create their own production company and sell directly to the people for a really good price, people like Derek, people like Brett will just be loving it. Because you pay, let's be honest, Rugby Pass was 34 quid, which is, $60 New Zealand, which will be about £29 American for the full season.
$29?
American, yeah.
Not £24 or whatever. Anyway, mate, can we stop talking about Derek's problems? We're not his psychologist. And get on to the finish off the show.
All right, the finish off the show is Lamape, should he stay or should he go?
Should he stay or should he go now? Right, you've got stay.
I've got stay.
And I've got go.
You chose go.
I chose go.
All right. Okay.
Off you go, mate.
So I'm going to go first, am I?
Obviously.
All right, so I'm going to say this is the reasons why Lamape should stay.
Okay.
You can make money or you can make history. Now, if he goes over and plays for France, he can't play international rugby, can't play for anyone else. So, therefore, he's foregoing the opportunity to make history. That's my first point.
Okay.
Over to you.
Okay, so my first point is he hasn't really been a All Blacks starter.
Correct.
The only reason why he would become an All Blacks starter is he needs to be head and shoulders above the rest. Has he done this during the Super Rugby? No.
Okay. Good point. But I would argue that I think he's first taxi off the rung.
First taxi off the rung?
Easy road is not always the best. So just because he's not fullback starter now doesn't mean he won't be all-black starter in the future. We've got guys like Chris Jack that left for the money. Charles Piotr that's left for the money. Carl Heymans who left for the money. Luke McAllister who left for the money. A lot of those guys tried to come back to play World Cups and didn't. And all of those players could have been people that in years to come we will talk about.
Charles Piotr could have been great.
Yeah, but we won't.
No.
We won't because they didn't stay and they didn't play, didn't win a World Cup.
No.
And people will forget them. So my next point is we're only 2 years away from the World Cup. He can have his cake and eat it too. A little bit like Periwipu. He has his cake and eats it too.
He eats more than a cake, mate.
He has his cake and eats it three.
And eats pies and lollies.
He's only two. So you're right. You made the point for me.
Yep.
Which is he can play in the World Cup,
yep,
increase his value,
yes,
and make more money in France after.
Okay. Is he going to stick around to then not get picked like he did for the 2019 World Cup? Because he was good. Everyone said he should have been picked, but he wasn't.
You are right, but he will never know. Again, money or history?
He seems like the kind of man to me to go for money.
That's a sad indictment, isn't he? Sad indictment. Okay, I've got another couple of points here. Could use this deal,
yep,
that he's going to have,
okay,
to push for more money from the NZRFU.
Yes, I agree.
And he could be saying, okay, I'll stay, but I want to maybe go to Japan next year and play the Super Rugby season in Japan and maybe sweeten that deal a little bit. A long-term win in the World Cup, yeah?
Can I just say, I don't...
He could become a great All Black, and if he's a great All Black, winning World Cup winning All Black, he will earn more money in the long term.
He won't be a great All Black.
Why not?
Because a great All Black, he would have already had to sort of been a really good All Black now to be a great All Black. He could be a very good All Black, potentially, but I don't think he's consistent enough. I don't think he's good enough to be a great All Black.
Have you got any more points?
Yeah, they're all written down. I just don't think he'll have the drive. You know, this when we have our next international break, or when we start playing international rugby again, if he's not consistently in the team, starting week in, week out, that's his cue to leave.
I think he's going to have to make that decision before those games, though. They're talking to him now, mate.
But also, if he turns around and goes, the French teams or wherever he's going to go are offering me this much, can you offer me something similar?
Or enough
to stay. Or you sort of said, I could go to Japan. He's not good enough. He doesn't have the leverage to do that. He's not a Bowden Barrett. He's not a Brody Retallick.
No, you are right. You are right.
He's not good enough to go off for a year and then come back.
You're at the moment. But with this deal, then maybe this might push them to say, all right then, we'll compromise. But, okay, my last one is this. And I think this might be the reason why he's leaving.
Okay.
There's a player next year coming into the fold, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. He could see this as an opportunity or as a threat. He might be seeing this as a threat. How good would it be potentially to have Lamape and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck? Because if he's playing, then New Zealand potentially are even more likely to win the World Cup with quality
But where would Tuivasa-Sheck play?
13. 15 are on the wing. He's not going to play at 12. 12 is going to be too technical.
Where does he play at the moment for league?
Fullback.
Well, then he'll play fullback.
I don't think so. I think he's eyeing up 13 because that's where he used to play when he played rugby, and he played rugby for many, many years.
Right, okay.
And then converted to rugby league.
Okay.
So my main points are this. You've got to choose money or history. And he can have both. He can try and create history and then go for the money. Okay? My other points that I have to say is it's the easy road, not always the best road. We've seen that before. Chris Jack, all these guys, they've all forgotten. He can make money from not just playing rugby, but from coaching rugby or being a pundit on TV. And he won't get any money to do those sorts of things when he's 50 years of age if he doesn't stay and play for the All Blacks.
Yeah, but he could go to France and earn megabucks.
But he could go to France in 2 years' time and earn megabucks.
Yeah, but what if he doesn't make the All Blacks?
Still go to France.
Because he hasn't been consistently in the team at the moment.
I do agree, but
both of us at the moment have said David Havili.
You're right. I would say this. If I was him, I would stay, but I wouldn't sign a two-year contract. I'd sign a rolling one-year deal.
Yep.
And basically, I just bin them off. If I'm not on the team this year playing in the games, I'm off.
But then you might have... Yeah, okay. Yep. I agree with you.
So do you think he should stay then?
No. I think he should go.
So anyway, everyone, have you finished?
Yeah.
I'm finished. So I'm going to put this on Twitter. Who gave the most comprehensive argument?
Or compelling.
Compelling argument.
Who agrees with who?
Who agrees with Toby or who agrees with Damo? Damo. Damo agrees with Damo.
Yeah, who makes the best points? Because, you know, you've got to think about, you've actually got to think about it. You can't just go, I really like the Mape, he should stay.
Yes, that's basically what I've done.
Yes, and I would have done the same.
Yeah.
But I've gone for go. So you need to listen to us and take into the points and consider it like that. Don't go with your heart.
Absolutely. Mate, it's been a real pleasure. It's always been fantastic.
Yeah, it always is.
Someone asked me about a podcast. I said, it's just an opportunity for me to spend time with the buddy. I'm still trying to find one to spend time with. I will have to remember to cut that out.
Yeah, we'll have to remember to cut that out. 100%.
That was funny though, eh? That was funny. I could just beep out the F word that you could used. You dropped the F bomb, mate.
I did quite a few times after that.
I think, is it Brett's family better not be listening to this one because it's not so family friendly. But as always, it's an absolute pleasure to entertain you all. Meet us back here next week. And as we've mentioned before, we're trying to do this every week throughout the year rather than just the rugby season. So stick around for more, even when Super Rugby finishes.
Yes.
But until next time.
Adios.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.